Moncrief on News Talk.
If you book a room for yourself in Ireland, good luck with that. The overwhelming majority of places only do rooms for couples and upwards. So why are solo travellers so neglected? Janet Newenham is a travel blogger and has considerable experience of this. Afternoon, Janet.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for having me.
Have you ever, in Ireland at least, experienced any hotel that does single rooms for solo travellers?
To be honest, not that I can think of. Yeah, it's always a double room or a twin room. So you're paying the same price as if you were two people, right?
Yeah. So what do you do if you're within Ireland travelling? Now, I know mostly you travel outside of Ireland, but if you're in Ireland, where do you stay?
Well, most of the time you just suck it up, don't you? And you just book the twin room or the double room and you pay the full price. But another option is, well, what I do sometimes is I would book into a hostel. But I feel like I'm a bit old for that now. And you're kind of just doing it to get to avail of, like, you know, a single room or a cheaper price, when really I'm probably at the age I should be staying in the hotels.
Yes. Okay, fair enough. Is this a thing that's unique to Ireland?
I wouldn't say it's unique to Ireland, but I have encountered in a lot of other countries I go to where they do cater more to the solo traveler. Like, for example, in Japan, they definitely have single rooms with a single bed that are a cheaper price than a double room or a twin room. And it very much caters to the solo traveler, whereas I haven't encountered it much in Ireland.
Yeah. OK. And is there, what's the reason for that, do you suspect?
I don't know exactly. I think maybe it was sort of ingrained in our culture for years that, you know, solo travel wasn't this thing and that most people here are traveling in couples or families, groups of friends. But, you know, that's really changed now. So it would be good if the hotels could recognize that and change it. I guess as well, they want to make a bit extra money, right? Because if they charge the same, whether you're one or two people, they're probably making more money.
Yeah, I suppose. Though then again, they must know, and I have no figures in this whatsoever, but a large proportion probably of the rooms that they let out are to people who have arrived there by themselves.
Yeah, for sure. I stayed at a hotel in Dublin recently and I just noticed that almost everyone checking in was by themselves, whether that was, you know, people on a shopping trip or businessmen checking into the hotel. Like, I really observed it that, like, so many of the people were just by themselves. But whether you're one person or two people, you're paying the same price. And, you know, even if breakfast is included, the two people will both get breakfast each. If it's one person, only one person gets breakfast, but you've paid the same amount.
Yeah, crikey. So is it just Japan really that is notable in catering for solo travellers?
No, I've definitely seen other countries as well. So I travel quite a bit internationally. That was just one I observed because I was there 2 weeks ago. But definitely across Asia in some places, definitely in some of mainland Europe as well, you will find single rooms. And they are quite small. Like, I have to say, you know, it would just be perhaps one single bed, you know, not even a double bed, but that's all you really need. And if you're, I think London as well, I have encountered it. So yeah, I don't know if there are hotels in Ireland. I don't want to say there aren't, because maybe there are, but I haven't come across any personally.
Well, then again, we look forward then for some hotels in Ireland to contact us and let us know that they do do solo travelling rates. Paddy says, if you're travelling solo, ask the receptionist when booking for corporate rates and say you're travelling on business.
Oh, that's a good tip. I haven't heard of that one.
Yeah, they might actually charge you more if you say you're traveling. Yeah, you're traveling on business.
You're like, oh, she's not paying for it. Let's bill the company more money.
Yeah, is it like and traveling alone in general? Solo traveling is. I assume it has the great advantage that you can just do whatever you want to do, without having to kind of, you know, consult with anyone else about it.
Yeah, that's the main advantage for sure. You know, you wake up every morning in a new city or a new country and you make all the decisions. You decide where you eat. You decide what you do. If you're tired, you know, travel burnout can be real. You just decide, oh, I'm going to take the day off. Whereas if you're traveling with someone else, their decision is 50%, right? And you have to do what they agree to do. So I personally love solo traveling.
Yeah. When you're on your travels, do you meet other solo travelers?
Yeah, you often do. I always say that about solo travel is you're never actually alone. You nearly always end up, you know, if you book into a hostel or a backpackers or even certain hotels that cater to younger people, you nearly always meet people. And then often you end up traveling with them. So often you kind of start off your trip solo, but, you know, you end up traveling with other people.
Okay, and so is there, for you, because you're experienced at this, is there a period at which you're initially talking to them and you're kind of vetting them to go,
Yeah, for sure. Actually, I had a funny situation recently where I ended up traveling all over kind of East Africa, Djibouti and Ethiopia, Somalia, with someone I pretty much met at the airport. And yeah, we just kind of decided to go for it. And so I make up my decisions pretty fast. But otherwise, you know, obviously you'd message in advance or maybe meet up in advance.
Yeah. OK, but say that those like I was in Somalia last year. That's kind of dodgy to be traveling by yourself in, I would have thought.
Yeah, I think I listened to your podcast while I was there. I've just realized. yeah, exactly. So I didn't particularly want to go by myself, but I wanted to go there. And so nothing was kind of going to stop me. And this girl kind of was like, well, actually, I'm up for going wherever. And she was just very open. And I just said, OK, let's do this. And we had a wonderful time. We've now planned a trip together to Papua New Guinea in August. So she's definitely of the same mind frame of me, of traveling to off the beaten track places.
OK, well, that's good. So then you can make lasting. Is she then a friend to you or traveling partner?
No, I would consider her a friend now. You know, she was just for the first few days, I guess, a traveling partner. But we ended up traveling to three countries together. So I would definitely call her a friend now.
Yeah.
And if I can, if sort of promoting something I do, but I solo travel a lot, but I actually also now organize group trips for solo travelers. So it's also a nice way. And again, it's similar where they're all strangers at the start and they solo travel to get there to the destination. But once there, then you're kind of traveling as a group of solo travelers.
Yeah. Yeah. Paddy got back in contact again. And Paddy says corporate rates are 10 to 20% cheaper and include breakfast. So there you go.
Wow.
Every day's a school day. Janet, thanks a million for speaking with us today. That was the travel blogger, Janet Newenham there. Another texter says hotels also allow for adult children with special needs who need to share with parents to be given child rates. Someone else says, I love traveling solo, can do what I want without having to ask what the other person wants to do. Going solo is a perfect. Best thing I ever did in my life was solo travel, says this texter. It was the first time in my life I felt I actually got to do what I wanted to while on holidays instead of going off the agenda of somebody else. And B&Bs says somebody else accommodate quite well for solos, not so much hotels.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.